You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my old friend, Mahala Gale, returns to do another show. Mahala is an astrologer, writer, lecturer, minister, and one of the founders of the Asclepius Light Center. She has been the editor of the Asclepius Light Center newsletter since 1988, and writer-editor of the monthly Planet Alert articles. Planet Alert articles have appeared in many publications, and Mahala continues to bring together numerous elements of astrology, prophecy, and mystical studies into a cohesive picture. So, let's welcome Mahala back to the show now. Mahala. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for inviting me on your show again.
Oh, it's always wonderful to have you back, and it seems like just enough time passes that a lot has happened, and you have fresh insights for us on the energies and the stars and the prophecies and all of that. So we've made it to 2011. I'm going to just start out by asking you, what now?
Oh, wow. Well, a whole lot. And would you believe that we're already in February, that January is already gone?
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't believe how fast time is going.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
I thought we were in January.
See, right.
That's how fast it's going.
I thought it was still Christmas.
Where's my presents?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, this major thing, that what's going on right now was more or less generated by what happened in December. And that was so interesting because I had a dream in February of 2010 that the solstice would be the end of a 26,000-year cycle. And I was told to be prepared for it, you know, for the time coming up. And I thought, well, what's that all about? You know, that was way back in February. And then when I got an email on December 21st, or was it 22nd, and it showed the USGS earthquake charts, mm-hmm. and the earth was quaking all over the world at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been told a long time ago that when you see the whole earth earthquake, that you know that the change is here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what was happening. Well, what was happening was that a magnetic shift was going on. And the magnetic pole shift, is not a one-day thing, because I think they started measuring it when it started to move, I think it was in 1997. In 1998, I was made aware of it when the Earth first went to zero magnetics for a short period of time. And so it started out because, like, the magnetic north was lined up with Hudson Bay in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was headed across the Atlantic for Siberia. And so it went in segments. And so it's been quite a while since 1997. Well, actually, that was 13 years from 1997 to 2010. I wonder if that's a cycle. Anyways, and on the day that the magnetic shift happened, an airplane crashed in Surgut, Siberia. And so I think that's pretty much where the magnetic pole must be right now, because that area was right in the energy.
Mm, okay.
And then the Tampa airport, you know, like if you look at where Hudson Bay is on the map and you draw a line, you know, straight down south, it goes right down through Tampa. And so for some reason, both of the old pole was and the new pole is were activated at the same time, which I found very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the magnetic pole, I mean, there's a whole lot more to it than meets the eye. You know, and then I got this email just this morning, and let me read a paragraph in here.
Okay.
And this is a man who's detecting things with his machines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, my detector has shown large swings in the baseline over the course of the past week, as well as swings in local magnetic flux density. Some of these swings occur in a more or less regular pattern, but not always. To me, this is further evidence of a magnetic disturbance caused from the sun transiting the magnetic plane of the Milky Way. The magnetic disturbance of the Milky Way magnetic plane disturbs the sun, which disturbs the sun's magnetic field. The solar magnetic field then disturbs the magnetic fields of the surrounding planets and minor bodies. The disturbance of the Earth's magnetic field causes earthquakes, volcanic heating, changes in the weather, and ocean currents. The changes in the weather will affect the moods and health of those living on the Earth. I think the disturbance in Egypt is just the beginning of a much greater manifestation of changes to come. Although these moods effects are subtle and can be overcome through will, the longer they occur, the more disruption. And so that's kind of how the mechanics of the magnetic field works. Mm. And so I don't know, a lot of people are aware of, like, when we have activity from the sun, and the sun's actually, you know, it sends its solar wind to Earth, and then the solar wind kind of runs the engine in the core of our Earth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then that affects different things. And so with that going on, I mean, people's moods, you know, can become very, very dynamic. And especially when the planet Uranus, along with Mars, is in Aquarius, which is the rebellious planet, you know, the rebellious sign. And the last time Uranus was in Aries was in the roaring 20s.
And that was just before the crash of the big
stock market,
wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I
and so
if there's any analogy there.
Right. And so that's kind of like what we're entering into right now. And so we're feeling the first effects of it from the sun and Mars together in Aquarius. And then the people, you know, feel the effects, especially like when you have a solar eclipse, you know, it sets a certain energy over an area. Mm. It's like a magnetic effect there, too.
Okay.
And so the solar eclipse on January 4th was over North Africa and the Middle East. That's where the darkness was. And so that's, you know, it always sets up events that you know, happen a little later, you know. And that wasn't that much later, you know, just a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
So anyways, then when the sun and Mars went into Uranus, that was what triggered it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so with that, it's kind of like what I was thinking about when I saw this was like a repeat of the Moses drama, you know?
Oh,
because, like in the story, if you reread the story of Moses, there were a whole lot of earth events going on, you know, and what they called the plagues at that time. And then the children of Israel had been held hostage, you know, and they kept calling to the president of Egypt, you know, let us go, we want to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that exactly what they're doing right now?
Yes, you're right.
You know? And so then on the spring equinox coming up here shortly, it's on the celebration of Purim, you know, and that is the celebration of the Israelis being set free. And so it's not only the Israelis. The word Israel is symbolic, you know. The word Israel is actually like the children of light, you know, type of thing.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like the whole world being free, you know, not just the Egyptians, but mainly it's manifesting. They're the ones that are playing out our drama. And so it's manifesting over in the Middle East countries. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of those countries that are rioting, you know, right now. It's not only Egypt, it's Tunisia, the Ivory Coast off of Western South Africa, Yemen, Sudan, and even the country in Russia, the one that was, they had a war there, Chechen, how do you pronounce that? Chechen, or not, I'm not getting the right word. But anyways, it's a little country that...
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yes, right, yeah. So that whole area is being kind of lit up with rebellious energy.
Mm-hmm.
And also when I saw that what was going on in Egypt, you know, I thought, well, this is the indigos, you know, because they keep talking about how it's the younger people under 30.
Oh, yeah, right.
And
right, that would be the indigos.
And they started it through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many of them. They're out of work, you know, and they have a hard time fitting in with the social structure as it is to start with. And so they're very rebellious by nature because they want a better place to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they want to bring in the new age. And so this is one way of getting people's attention, you know, and say, okay, it's time for freedom. We want freedom. And then there's another thing that happened, too, in January, and that was at the full moon of January 19th, and that's when the platinum ray was sent to Earth. Now, the platinum ray is an extremely high-frequency ray. In fact, like platinum, you know, like just the metal platinum on Earth, it's a higher
frequency.
Yeah, it's rare, and it's a higher frequency than gold is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the platinum ray is like the goddess creator ray. It's like Kali, you know, the destroyer goddess.
Okay.
Because when it comes across the earth, it pulls out everything that needs to be brought to the surface.
Okay.
You know, like anything that might be dark within you or dark within the earth that needs to be brought to the light so it can be looked at and then the changes can happen.
Oh, okay.
And so this is happening, too, on top of everything else that's going on out there.
Ah. Will this be indefinite, or is
I think so. I think it's here. I think it's here to totally draw out all of the negativity so it can be transformed into light.
Well, we can certainly see that happening in the world around us at the level of, you know, at the physical level. Things do seem to be getting darker, and the manifestations of the dark are becoming much more obvious and bold.
Yes, right, yeah. And then there's another thing, too, because, like, I do the Bible prophecies, you know, with Revelations,
mm-hmm.
and it's so interesting because I've been watching for years, you know, how we've been going through the Revelation and how one thing just happens right after another. And so in March of 2003, March 19th, is when we Bush went into Iraq, you know, and we started the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was a 7-year cycle. And so just this past August is when Obama came out and said that, okay, we're bringing our troops home from Iraq now, you know, and set up the schedule for it. And so that was the 7-year cycle.
Mm.
And so the war in Iraq... you know, because that was called Babylon, and so that was the whole 7-year cycle related to the 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation, and then the 19th, and so now we have the 19th, and then so when I look at that one, you know, some people they say, okay, the white horse appears in heaven, you know, and I say, well, the white ship appears in heaven. You know, and so that's the beginning of the 19th. But after that, and I had been watching this, and it talks about a war, you know, starting at the end of the 19th chapter. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want another war. You know, I said, maybe we're high enough frequency that we won't have to have a war. But I think it's working out with the rebellions that are going across the North Africa and the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that will be part of the 19th chapter, and then the 20th is everything being brought to the light so it can be transformed, and then the 21st is the new heaven and the new earth. So we're really, really, really close to moving into the new heaven and the new earth. And the energy is actually, the frequency of the energy is high enough now that for those that are ready can... move into the joy and happiness of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of hard. Sometimes it's kind of hard to stay in that energy when there's so much trauma going on, you know, in the rest of the world.
That's what I found.
Yeah. And so, especially people that are impasse, you know, and pick up everything, then
it's
really hard, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. And so, like a week ago, I woke up and my right hand wouldn't work, you know?
Oh.
And I thought, oh, no. And that's when I was going to write my article, you know, and I thought, well, God had other plans for me. Guess I'm not going to write my article today. And so I wondered, you know, what was that on? It really hurt, you know? And so I figured it was caused from my neck, you know, because that affects your hands and your arms, you know? But then as I was thinking about it, you know, I thought, well, maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe it's my nervous system. Mm. And then because there's so many people pick up so many different vibrations with the earth change, you know. And so I thought, oh, it's just another one of the ascension symptoms, you know, and I'll just live through it and it'll be gone, you know. They always go away.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to go through them when it's happening, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, there must have been a major activation of our nervous system during the last week, you know, because I always pick up what everyone else is picking up. So I'm sure there are a lot of other people out there that had the same challenge with their nervous system, you know, during that time period. And then there are other mornings, you know, like when I wake up and feel like I've been run over by a truck.
Right. Right. I know that one.
Man, can I make it through the day, you know?
Right.
And I thought, well, why does ascension have to be so hard and so physical, and why do I have to feel all of this stuff that goes on the earth, you know?
Yeah, that is a good question, but I haven't found an answer yet.
I haven't either, so I just lived through it. But we have a lot of companions going through the same thing at the same time, you know. So when I get phone calls and they say, "Did you feel this?" you know, and this way, and I says, "Well, yeah, I did." And then we say, "Okay, another ascension symptom," you know, because if you think that you're sick, you know, and someone else is experiencing the same thing at the same time. Chances are 90% that it's an ascension symptom.
Right.
And will go away in a couple of days.
Right.
But it's still hard to go through.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. It's interesting that that you mentioned the 19th chapter of Revelation, and that simultaneously the full moon was January 19th when the platinum ray came through.
Yes, it was.
Now, how did you know that where did you get the information about the platinum ray?
It was on the website of Children of the Sun website.
Oh, yes, right. Right. I read them occasionally.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I really resonate with their information. I think that they're great.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. I had been aware of the platinum ray for quite a while. And when I was aware of it, you know, like I was told that you have to be really careful with the platinum ray because the energy is so high, you know, and if you don't know what you're doing, it can cause a lot of havoc with it, you know. So I never used it because I don't want to be responsible for anything, you know.
Right.
But then, now that it's coming in from the heavens, it's not my responsibility.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's doing, you know, what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But there's not only that, Ray. I mean, there's all this energy coming in from the galactic center.
Oh, yeah. So what about that?
And that is, that's very, very, very powerful energy. And the energy that comes in from the galactic center, it's my understanding it's ninth dimension energy.
Okay.
And then the bubbles that appeared at the galactic center, I think that they're manifesting eighth dimension, because it's in the figure eight, you know, the two bubbles together.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm not sure about that, but that's the thought came to me that, oh, that must be eighth dimension energy that's coming through it. But from the actual galactic center, it's ninth dimension energy. And then the energy from the galactic center, you know, comes to our sun, and then our sun to us. And so our sun kind of acts like a, what do you call the things that relays the energy?
Oh, yeah, like it steps it down for us.
Yeah, steps it down, yeah.
Filters it for us so that we can digest it.
Right. And the energy from the galactic center is focused into exactly down the New Madrid Fault or the Mississippi River.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And it goes all the way into the Gulf.
Whoa, wow.
And that was a major reason for the Gulf spill, you know, because the energy was right for it.
Ah.
And it depends on the declination of the planets where the event will happen. Like the declination of Pluto was right in the middle of the Gulf, you know, at the time it happened last year. And so that was the energy was pulled in there. Well, now we have the crystals in Arkansas.
Now, what are those?
Oh, those are ancient crystals. I mean, it's kind of like a little Atlantis.
Oh.
And so these crystals have been activated. They started being activated on the 999.
Oh, okay.
And so now, because if you look at where Arkansas is, you know, like it's right there in the galactic center energy coming in.
Ah, I see.
And so just recently, the energy focused into Arkansas, and then these crystals are really, really, really being activated. And that is really high energy on Earth because crystals, you know, are really high energy. And like they're the Christ light in a solid form.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an energy generator in Arkansas that has now been activated.
An interesting place for that to be, you know.
Right, yeah. And then there's another thing, you know, because like... people talk about, you know, the pole shift, you know, and then with our magnetic field going down, you know, but I don't think it's totally gone, but I think that there's holes in it.
You're right, right.
You know, a lot of holes that our HAARP has done and...
Yes.
And
HAARP and...
And the nuclear bombs we've...
all the nuclear bombs that we've...
And made all these holes in there. So then the energy can pour into Earth, you know. And there's the one event that I've heard is on the agenda, and that is that there's a hydrocarbon cloud out there that could be coming in through those holes and might cause our atmosphere to burn with fire, like the Bible says.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. And so I just want people to be aware of that being a possibility. So if that starts happening, you know, they won't be afraid of it.
Right, because if it's far enough out and it's not actually affecting us.
Right, provided it doesn't come down, you know.
Right.
I
tend to see all of these events that are really outside the box as something created by either advanced technology that we have and are experimenting with, or that is something that's outside what we have and is being demonstrated to us.
Right, yes. Well, you all know. The weather wars that we went through for so many years there, with I think it was between the United States and Russia, but it looks like that has stopped, you know. But, I mean, what kind of damage did that do, you know? Like with all the hurricanes coming in and then us retaliating, you know, over Russia with the weather wars and stuff like that. And with China, you know, and I thought, oh, man.
We always go through this, you know. We just have to go down that road and experiment, and then fight, and then figure out that no, we can't be doing that, and then the damage is done. So, and I just read an article that one division of the Rothschilds just purchased 75% interest, I think, or 70% interest in the company that does all of the graphics and all of the weather demonstrations for all the television sets and for companies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just read that today, and that means that there will be even more or tighter control over what we find out about the weather. So there could be, you know, I mean, we already know that the mainstream media is controlled, but it's going to be even more controlled as time goes on.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so because of the planets, you know. I think that God has other plans in mind for us, you know, because of the planets. Because when, you know, because like I was saying that when Uranus goes into Aries, it's like the roaring 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be such a drive for freedom that I think everything's going to be turned topsy-turvy.
Well, I hope so.
Because...
It makes sense. It makes sense. It really does. Plus, March 12th is just a few days after we go into the final galactic, is it the galactic underworld?
Yes, and that's the ninth wave.
Right, that
and
is
I
the
think
ninth.
That,
we're at the top of the pyramid
that's
of consciousness.
Right. And so I think that the ninth wave, will be bringing in almost solid energy from the galactic center. That's my feeling with it. And that really causes chaos on Earth for the people that cannot vibrate to it.
Right.
Of course, for the people that, you know, meditate and have time to, you know, be calm and peaceful and stuff, it's very good for them,
right.
You know. And
right.
It's very good for the higher dimension people, you know. But the lower ones, it's just kind of caused them to go crazy. And you know, that's where the real challenge comes in.
It seems like it would be a very difficult time for people who were not in their integrity, who were more self-serving and corrupt and greedy and serving a lower agenda and operating from lower density vibrations.
Yes.
And so those people, I mean, they've been on the top of the pyramid for so long that, you know, most of us have tended to figure that they're going to be there forever. But as we rise up in energy, they're going to find it difficult to maintain their balance. And I don't know what will happen, but it seems like it will be more difficult for them than it will be for us, we humans who have hearts and compassion and who care about one another.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, this main war and everything that goes along with the war has been fought in the fourth dimension, which has been since 1987 up until now.
Okay.
And so once we move above the frequency of the fourth dimension, we'll be above it. And it won't affect us anymore, however that works out.
Well, that would be nice, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even now, I wouldn't want to get stuck in the fourth dimension and have to actually see them duking it out at that level.
Right.
You know, that probably isn't a pretty picture either.
Oh, no, definitely. No, I don't think so. But I think that the majority of the light workers will be in the higher frequency.
Yeah.
You know, because there's such a strong drive for peace.
Right.
In the world, you know. It might not appear that way with the Middle East becoming ignited, but there is a strong underlying drive for peace. And then we also have WikiLeaks, you know.
Well, yes, that's true, and there are other versions of it that are coming out. So, you know, even if that one doesn't you know, come out fast enough, I have a feeling that the door's been opened.
Yes, and I think that goes along with the 19th chapter, you know, bringing everything out into the open, or the 20th chapter, you know, so it can be looked at.
What do you think will happen? I mean, there's so much concealed. Like, for instance, all of the back-engineered and black operations, the projects that are off-limits to us regular humans, and even to presidents, the Area 51, for instance, all of the projects that go down 30, 40, 50, you know, stories deep and have, you know, I mean, do you think all of that is going to become something that we will be aware of, or...
I think it will disappear from our sight. You know?
What?
I think they'll just disappear from our sight, you know.
Oh, okay.
That will be because we will shortly be living on the new heaven and the new earth and the new heaven.
And those things certainly don't vibrate at a high level.
No, very
not
definitely.
Not with people guarding them with guns ready to shoot you. I mean,
right.
So those things probably wouldn't be ascending to a higher level.
Definitely, and my vision that I've had of the new world, you know, it's such a beautiful place, and that was several years ago, and it was like a Garden of Eden, you know, and everything was pure and clear, and no pollution, no cars, no concrete, nothing like that, you know, it was just a plain Garden of Eden, And so this is what's kept me going for all these years, you know, do the prophecies and everything, because I see the final outcome, you know, and it's just a matter of getting there, you know, and I don't always know the timing of the time of getting to that place, but I think that we're getting really close. And we also have another thing out there, and that's the planet coming in. And if you look at where most of the Earth events have been, they've been in the southern hemisphere, like Australia, the earthquakes in the South Pacific, which has been a horrendous amount, South America, the earthquakes in there, and Chile and Colombia, and the floods down there, and in South Africa and in Bangladesh. You know, this is all the lower hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And so the planet is coming in from the south. And so as that comes in, it brings or causes floods and earthquakes in the southern hemisphere. And so this is exactly what has been going on for a few years now, and especially lately with, you know, Australia getting the tremendous flooding and then the cyclone on top of it all, you know.
And oh, so yeah, that, bizarre.
Yeah, so that's from the energy, I think, of that planet getting closer. And affecting our planet.
And you're talking about the 12th planet, right?
It has different names to it. You know, some people call it on the 12th planet. Some people call it Nemesis. You know, some people call it Nibiru. There's all different names to it. I think it's the dark star. I think it's Nemesis. I think it's a companion of our sun.
Okay.
And I think it's on a regular cycle that comes around every so often.
Okay.
And I think that now is the time of it for it, because we just finished a 26,000-year cycle.
Right.
And so it's time for a change. And
okay.
So it's like a electromagnetic effect that comes from it, you know, because, I mean, it won't hit Earth or anything like that, you know. But the magnetic pull or the electrical pull, when it gets close enough to the Earth, can cause all kinds of changes. And there's more and more volcanoes that are erupting and, you know, getting hot. And in the Earth, there are a tremendous amount of volcanoes in the ocean, you know, and underground. I mean, I couldn't believe how many there were. It was a tremendous amount. And they're getting really hot, and then with the core doing what it's been doing, you know, the temperature has gone up to like 750 degrees, you know, in some of the volcanoes. And that's one of the reasons that some of the fish have been dying, I think, you know, is because they get in the water that there's a volcano there, and it gets too hot for them. Or it could get too cold for them with the thing out. But also, I think that a lot of the mass animal deaths has been caused from the magnetic pole shift that happened in December. And the chart was off the scale from December 21st to December 25th. And then on 26th, it was back to normal, you know, the USGS earthquake chart. And so I thought, wow, that was like the earth shook for 4 days.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's a lot.
I
think that it started shaking again in January, around January 13th, in various places. So I think that the core is kind of wobbling or doing something that's keeping it agitated, or, you know, the energy up for it.
So in other words, these are not situations that are that are going to be going away.
If anything,
they're going to increase probably in intensity and move around the planet.
Very much so.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, because we're on a roll, you know.
Right.
And so with Jupiter being in Aries, you know, Jupiter's a large planet, and Aries is a fire sign, you know, and fire, volcanoes are fire,
right,
in the heavens,
right.
You know. Fire everywhere. And then when Uranus goes into Aries, I mean, that's Uranus is a planet of change, you know, and Aries being the fire sign, and so lots of change. So probably more on the the fire or the high frequency energy change.
Oh, okay. And that could be connected to the that energy that you said was coming in, the that was like a gas cloud or something.
Yes.
So, and that's about the similar timing. So if we see that, we know that that might be connected to these events.
Right, and there's been a lot of other signs going on, too, for people that are aware of what's happening, because I believe that from December of 2010 to October of 2011 is what's considered the Day of the Lord.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'm sure that you're aware of this UFO that came down over Mount Zion.
I briefly heard about that. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, this was January 28th. There were some people that were up on Mount Zion, mm-hmm. which is a very, very important part of prophecies, mm-hmm. and they were overlooking the Dome of the Rock, which is the most sacred place in the world for the Arab religion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so this UFO, which was a plasma light shift,
mm-hmm.
it came down, and the video is excellent of it, and it came down, and it landed right over the Dome of the Rock.
Wow.
And then it stood there for a while, and then the light just expanded in the ship, and then it just took off. And so there's it also, according to what I've heard on the internet, you know, I don't know, you can't always believe the internet, but
yeah.
I mean, there's so much, you know, information, but anyways.
Right.
But it says that there was actually a coded message that was given to them. And what it's supposed to have said is, be of no fear, as we have returned.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so the ship was awesome because, you know, like some people say, oh, you know, it's a dark ship. So I said, no, the plasma ships are not dark ships. The dark ships are more mechanical, and they're not as highly advanced as the light ships.
Mm-hmm,
and the
mm-hmm.
plasma ships, and this was a white, like a white horse in heaven, you know, coming down
yeah,
to the Dome of the Rock.
Horse again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In front of all the people, and then the internet. I mean, the video is the most watched video on the internet right now.
I'll have to check
and
that
so,
out after we had the show.
So it hit everyone, you know, because they're so aware of the prophecies of
yeah.
that particular area, you know,
yeah.
Israel, and connected with Egypt and the pyramids. And another thing is that you're familiar with the cryon channelings, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and the magnetic master, you know, cryon's magnetic master, and they were building this Christ grid around everything, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
The new grid, yeah. Well, this new grid is anchored in the pyramid in Egypt.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it says the Christ grid is anchored by its axis at Cairo in Egypt.
Oh, interesting.
And so that's another thing. And so the pyramids, because everything, all the sacred sites are being activated right now. And the pyramids is one of them, one of the major ones, you know, and I'm sure Stonehenge is being activated, too. Well, they have the crop circles all the time.
Right.
But Egypt being activated, you know, with the pyramids, and if there's an energy coming out of the pyramids now that might disturb the people a bit, that could help disrupt the stuff over there, too, you know, and bring out the revolution and bring up the energy for freedom.
Interesting. Do you think that those energies will be connected in a grid to all of the pyramids around the world at some
yes,
point?
I do.
It seems that that's the point of all of the pyramids, is that their original design was to be connected together as grids of higher consciousness and light.
Yes.
You know,
right.
So and yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and then there's our central, I mean our the galactic center, you know, which is extremely powerful for our universe, you know. But then there's a great, great black hole that holds 27 galaxies in place.
Ooh.
You know, and the energy from that focuses into England, where Stonehenge is, and the sacred sites in England.
Oh, my.
And so when the energy comes in from that source in space, it comes into Stonehenge, and then it goes from Stonehenge to the pyramids.
Wow.
But the energy, and then there's different places in space. Like there's Alcyon, you know, in the Pleiadian system.
Right, right.
And that's connected with, well, it's connected with the West Coast, you know. We're definitely under the Pleiadian energy from Northern California on up to British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, like, the West Coast, that area, is the New Jerusalem, and the Old Jerusalem is the opposite point of on the Earth. And so the Pleiadian energy also focuses into the pyramid there. And so I think that when energy comes in from our local central sun of Alcyon, then it goes to the pyramids and also to the West Coast.
Oh.
You know, 'cause it always hits two spots at a time. But as a generator, it would go to the pyramids and then go around to all the different other pyramids. And maybe that's the beginning of the activation of the ninth wave, you know?
That could be, too,
really soon. So that maybe they'll be prepared, you know, because I'm sure that the ones in Arkansas, we could consider that a pyramid, too, because they're like crystal pyramids.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm sure that they're all set up for ninth dimension energy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the other pyramids are, too. And so that's going to really make the Earth turn into light, you know. And then when we're talking about these anomalies, there's an anomaly going on in the Atlantic right now where the Bermuda Triangle is.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I had gotten an email on that, too, because it's affecting our government. And what I got a couple of different emails from different people about it, and it says, Atlantis anomaly causes shutdown of U.S. Army weapons base.
I read about that. What do you think was going on with that?
Well, I think that because it's my understanding that there's an ancient pyramid from Atlantis down in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that it causes a strange energy, you know, that so many ships have been missing from that area and anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think that area was activated with this energy, too, with the magnetic pole shift and with the platinum ray coming in and all that energy. And so I think that's being activated, too. And
wow.
So it's like Atlantis coming up.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? and put the military bases that are here for destruction and death and war and fighting with ourselves out of commission.
Right.
So, and of course, the ninth wave, during that time, I believe that is a super accelerated time of about, I think, 260 days. And we go through periods every 18 days. It increases by 20 fold or something.
Yes.
So that's just around the corner. That's we're
right.
You know, all these little things that we're talking about that are happening right now are dovetailing into this this date. Which
because when we reach the time of no time,
right.
Which I always thought was in 212, but maybe it's 211.
Well,
I guess time will tell. And when you get, that's extremely high energy, and we're in the fifth dimension then, because that's what it manifests, you know?
Yeah.
No
yeah,
time.
And then, according to Kellerman, we're at the point of October 28th, 2011, it's locked in. Until that point, it's a frequency that's moving, it's in movement, and then on October 28th, it locks in for 2012, and it stabilizes at 2012.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we'll see.
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, it's so close that we can just say, well, we'll find out, won't we?
That's right, yeah. And yeah. If time, like I said at the beginning of the program, you know, we're in February already.
Did you ever think that we would, I never thought I would be alive at this period of time so close. I mean, I always wanted to be alive around 20, you know, at least by December 21st, 2012, but here we are less than 2 years away. Well, I mean, according to Kalman, we're in the last year of the calendar, so things are certainly happening. The things are speeding up. There's no question about that.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. Well, I've always known I'd be here up until this time, well, longer, actually, because we're going into a time where we go into age reversal, and we'll have total health and age reversal, because once you're in a high enough frequency, you don't get sick anymore.
That's right, and you're not. The genes that were snipped, we have our DNA that causes premature death, are no longer in operation.
Right.
So all of those things that were tampered with by advanced civilizations many hundreds of thousands of years ago will be fixed. They'll
Which are being reconnected, and I think that was all part of my week event last week, you know, with part of the DNA.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I think it goes in stages.
Well, you know, it would almost have to, or else we wouldn't be able to take it all at once.
Right.
And you get pretty, you're one of the few people I know who experiences the shifts and the energies really intensely. I mean, you're a very intuitive, sensitive that picks up on all this stuff.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, so you feel every, I mean, what might seem like a gust of wind to somebody else might blow you through the all the way through the house and out the window.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Well, I'm sitting on a vortex too. You know, in my house.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
You know, which makes it everything intensifies at my house. And so that's probably why I feel it so high. But like I can be perfectly fine one day, you know, and just really happy and everything, and then the next day just totally down. You know.
Oh, it's me like too.
A wave hits and it just knocks me out.
Me too, and I can't pull out of it.
Right.
And then all you can do is just wait until it passes.
That's right.
I had one of those today. I couldn't pull out of it. It was just it happened, kaplunk, and I had to accept it and let it go. And I ended up doing nothing all day.
Uh huh.
You know, I had to accept the fact that this is what I can do today, right now.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow will be different.
I know. You know, I've heard that from so many people, and I don't know how light workers have been able to hold down a full-time job and go through this.
God.
I just don't know how they can do it.
I don't either, Mahala. I really don't. I haven't understood that for over 10 or 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw 12 years ago that was a racket. This whole system that we're in is a racket set up to enslave us.
Right.
You know, with taxes and, I mean, our audiences, listeners know all this stuff, so I don't want to preach to the choir, but how anybody can maintain their energy and have all of these pulls in life and pulling them apart, you can't remain centered. There's no way that you can remain centered.
I know, it's really hard. I've been working on trying to stay centered for a long time, and I think I've gotten there, and then boom, along comes another wave.
Same here. And sometimes, you know, I don't have to be off my property, and I'm surrounded by trees and beauty and all the rest. I mean, there are chemtrails overhead, of course.
That
goes without saying, but I figure when I see the end of those, that's going to be a sign that something positive is happening, but there are days when I get knocked around too, and I think to myself, oh, those poor people that have to, you know, go to these corporate jobs and work for people that they don't like, and you know, and plus the economy is tanking, so there's so much going on now that's forcing us to look at our lives and really figure out what we want, and I think it's forcing us away from the material and into looking within, into a more spiritual, spiritually centered connection.
Yes, very definitely.
It's been so off balance you know, with the patriarchal society and with the divine feminine practically written out of history. You know, there is no her story. So
right, yeah.
You know,
maybe we need to write a book about the real history of Earth.
Well, someday, yeah, I think so. And, yeah,
that might be real interesting.
if we could find out the truth, that would be, you know, that would be the main thing. So, I don't know how people do it.
So we we have to admit, though, we do live in interesting times, and you never know what a day will bring.
True. That's true. And also, our lives are our teachers, the synchronicities that come to our lives. That is the teaching tool that we can use, because we're given things in our lives that are designed to help us awaken. And so if we're more awake, we can start making connections between, oh yes, this dropped. I mean, not everything doesn't mean something, but there are times when you can make connections and see that, yes, there was an 11-11 on the radio, and it just happened to be in a moment when, you know, I was thinking about X, Y, and Z and the pyramids or whatever. So, you know, there's a lot that we can tune into in the higher frequencies just, you know, while we're doing our daily business.
That's right. Yeah, it's very important to stay in our heart energy.
Yes, yeah.
You know, the heart is basically our controlling center. You know, it runs everything. Because we have the three brains. You know, we have the brain in our heart, the brain in our head, and the brain in our solar plexus. And so the strongest one is the brain in our heart.
The brain in the heart, yes.
And it sends out all of these magnetic or electrical charges.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And that's the one that we really need to tune into to get the best and quickest information.
Yes, very definitely.
Yeah, because the brain in the head is the slowest of the three.
Right, yeah.
And yet it thinks it's the fastest and the smartest.
Right, yeah.
And we'll often try to convince us that, no, that couldn't be true. No.
Right.
Forget about that.
Yeah. So get into your heart.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of Dan Winter's CD or videos?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I was watching one just the other night, and he was talking about the heart. You know, and with because he does, you know, the geometry and the math and all of that with it. And so I'm going to rewatch that one. It's excellent.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
And I think that you can probably just go into Dan Winter's, you know, and look for the video on the heart.
Oh, good. And also, Carl Coleman wrote a wonderful piece on the period between March 9th and October 28th, and it's strictly about that period. And also, Barbara Han Clow has a new analysis of the new moon, which we just went through, and what this period of time signifies and how it dovetails into the end of the year. So that's her Astroflash.
Uh-huh.
And so those are
She's really good.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, she works with the Pleiadian system of nine dimensions. So,
right.
You know, we talked about the possibility that our star, our sun, is part of the Pleiadian system because
we're the eighth star of the Pleiadian.
We're the eighth star, yes, and that makes sense. When, you know, if
okay, hold on just a second because my phone battery is going dead. I'm going to get another one.
All right.
Okay, still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. I don't like that. That's one of the things that batteries don't work too well in my house.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, your energy probably throws them all off kilter.
Yes.
Now,
and I have to replace batteries so often, it's not even funny anymore.
Oh, I know. Well, we're going to be seeing a lot of that with our cars and the rest of it. What's going on in the
Gulf? Oh, I already had my car battery went dead when the magnetic pole was shifting.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't have thought too much about it. But the battery was, you know, I just had it for a year. And so I was wondering, well, why did it go bad? Is there something else wrong with my car that made my battery go dead, you know? But then when a friend called up, and she lives across the valley from me, and she also lives, her house is on a Stargate, and her car battery went dead on the same day.
Okay.
And that's kind of a coincidence, you know?
Yes.
And so I thought, oh, was that something with the magnetic flux that happened during that magnetic shift?
Well, I'm wondering if there was actually if there actually is a pole reversal, then nothing that we have that works presently with the poles the way they are will work. Isn't that accurate?
In other words, you
can't just switch the poles because batteries are worked with positive and negative, and if the whole Earth's pole flips, then you have to design a new battery to work the other direction. Well, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, that's something to think about, yeah. I know that my batteries, since that time period, have been going out. In fact, the battery in my modem for my computer went out. I didn't even know there was a battery in there.
Oh, yeah. Now, I thought it would be nice to end on a really positive note. And in your report, your recent planet alert, you mentioned that we do have some nice energy coming to Earth on February 10th, 2011, that will affect us for 8 years. Do you want to talk about that briefly?
Okay, that's the planet Chiron. And Chiron, I think, was becoming a kind of an important planet, and I think that rules the sign of Virgo. But when that moves into Pisces, normally, without any interference, is a very gentle sign. And then we're also are now in the year of the rabbit. It's a metal rabbit, so it's not as gentle as a water rabbit would be, or an earth rabbit. But it's still the year of a rabbit, and that's gentle energy. And so when we have planets that start moving into a gentler sign, I mean, we'll still have the real dominant sign of Jupiter and Aries and Uranus and Aries, but we have on the other side Chiron in Pisces, you know.
Yeah.
So it gives us an easier time to tune in to the more gentle energy and move into the love vibration.
Yes, and you said that the sign rules cosmic consciousness, which is something we all would like to attain, and that now we will have the opportunity to tune into cosmic bliss.
Yes.
And Neptune will move into Pisces, a water sign, on April 5th, 2011, and this will be a time of easy access to bliss consciousness.
Right.
Now, that sounds great to me, too.
But you have to be on the high frequency to be able to do that.
Okay, so
we've got to get ourselves to stay on the high frequency.
Okay, and that involves...
And learn to adjust to the energy coming in.
All right, well, that's what we've been talking about all evening, too, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, and also for people to read your monthly planet alert. So before we sign off, be sure and tell people where you can be found and where your planet alert is.
Yeah, okay. My website or my blog is www.mahalas.com, and my email is planetalert@hotmail.com. And
wonderful.
So you could either go into the website or you could, you know, send me an email.
Wonderful. And it's a great report. I just live for it each month. And so,
well, thank you.
Yeah, this has been a particularly good one, and I love the sound of what's coming. You know, the bliss consciousness and the cosmic consciousness. So I'm going to focus on those things and your wonderful vision of the new Earth, which is an inspiration for all of us.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming back, Mahala. I love having you on the show, and we always have a fun chat. And
yes, that was fun.
And hang in there. We're getting close, and we'll have to talk again in a couple months.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great.
All right, thanks again, and good night.
You're welcome. Night-night.